Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Mem Hey, the last full daf of the fourth parak of Maseches Baba Kama. We are holding out the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Mem Dalaram Beis. This year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to discuss today in the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Dalaram Beis is whether an owner, if an owner is makdish, if an owner is makdish or shechts the guilty shor, so then what happens? Meaning, is the hekdesh chal? Is the basar going to be mutter if the shor is already guilty of killing somebody? And it doesn't make a difference before the gemar din, after the gemar din. The gemar is going to have two different explanations of the machlokas whether a shomer can return a shor after the gemar din. Meaning, I'm watching a shor for you, and while I'm watching the shor, the shor kills somebody and it has a gemar din. Now can I say, oh, hareshel chalafanecha, here's your shor back, and I don't know you anything further. So I'm going to have two explanations of a machlokas as to whether a shomer may do that. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to have a brisa about the responsibility of each of the dalet shomrim to pay for both damages that the shor does while under his watch, as well as for kofar if the shor kills while under his watch. And we're going to try to identify the author of the brisa, and we're going to have two different possibilities of who the author of the brisa might be. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to draw a distinction between responsibility of a shomer chinam to pay for damages done by the animal and damages done to the animal, that when one is mekabel hezek, what exactly does that mean? Am I being mekabel the responsibility for hezek that the animal does, or hezek that is done to the animal, or both, or neither? It's obviously not neither. But then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about three possible opinions as to what level of shmira is necessary for a muad, that how much shmira am I expected to place on a shor muad in order to protect others from being damaged by a shor muad. There's going to be one counterintuitive opinion that assumes you need a greater level of shmira on a shor tam than you do on a shor muad, and the Gemara is going to explain where these opinions come from. The Gemara is then going to discuss if an animal is muad to gore with its right horn, does that mean that it's also a muad to gore with its left horn? If it then subsequently gores with the left horn, do we say, oh, it's a tam to damage in that way? Or do we say, no, goring is goring, and therefore it's a muad? And then the parak is going to conclude. We'll see if we get there today, but the parak is going to conclude with two different explanations of why Rabbi Eliezer holds in the Mishnah that ein lo shmira ela besakin, that a shor muad, the only way to be shomer a shor muad is by shechting it. And short of that, there is no shmira on a shor muad. So let's begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Dalid Amud Beis. So the Mishnah talks about a shor that kills a person. So when do we assume that the Bailim loses Bailus on that shor? Shor shu yotzei l'sakel. If a shor is going to be taken out to be stoned because it had killed the person, and then at that point, vikdisho Bailim, the Bailim decides to make it hegdish. Eino muktish. It's Yisurei Hana'a. It's not considered to be in his Roshus anymore, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to be maktish. It does not take on the status of hegdish. Shechato. If he shechts the animal after the Gemar Din, b'saru aser. The meat is going to be aser b'achim. It's already Isureana. Vim ad shalom nigmar dino ikdisha bailav. But if the Bailim is makdish it before the Gemar Din, meaning after the Shor had already killed somebody, but before we had a Gemar Din on the Shor, then Mukdash, then the animal is going to be Mukdash, until the Gemar Din at least, Vim Shechato, and if the owner shechted it at that point before the Gemar Din, then Besaru Mutter, then you're allowed to eat the meat. So now the Mishnah pivots and talks about nothing to do with what we were just talking about, meaning Rashi points out that the next line of the Mishnah is not building off of the previous line of the Mishnah, as Rashi said, "Misar l'sharnum chinam ad shelo nagach v'lava reisha kayel nusachritihi." New sentence over here. Misar l'sharnum chinam l'sharnum nusachar l'socher. If you give your shor over to a shomer to watch any of the dalit shomrim, and then nichnas, so before it encored, nichnasu tachas habaylim. So now that shomer is in place of the baylim, and therefore mud mishal nezik shalim. If it's a muad, the shomer is going to pay nezik shalim. Tam mishal mechatzin nezik. If it's a tam and it damages while under the rishus of the shomer, it's going to pay chatzin nezik because the shomer becomes the new baylim. Now it's interesting. Tosyantov points out that we list the dalit shomrim. That's not a surprise. But look at the order that we list the dalit shomrim. Shomer chinam shoel nosi sachar socher. That is not the order in which they appear in the Torah. So the Tosyantov quotes a Shita Satosos that we had back on Dav Dalid that says that the reason that it listed in this order is because the Shomer Chinam and the Shoel are the two simplest. Shomer Chinam is Pater Min HaKol except for Pshia. A Shoel is Chayiv in everything except for Mesa Machmas Malacha. And the Shomer Sachar and Socher are somewhere in between, where the Chayiv in some things, Geneva Vaveda, but Pater from other things, namely Onsin. So we first go with the simple ones and then we go into the more detailed ones. Toz Yomtov himself suggests that the Seder that they're listed in the Mishnah is based on something else, that a Shomer Chinam and a Shoel are similar to each other in that there's a Tzad Chinam. The Shomer Chinam is being Shomer it Bechinam. The Shoel is being Shoel it Bechinam. He's taking possession of it without paying any money. Whereas a Shomer Socher and a Socher, there's money that changes hands in one direction or the other. So that in that sense, thematically, Shomer Chinam and Shoel are more linked to each other, and Shomer Sachar and Socher are more linked to each other. Okay, but be that as it may, it doesn't affect the halacha. The halacha in our Mishnah is that if you give it to a dalit, to any of the dalit shomrim, so the dalit shomrim become the new bailim as far as the responsibility to pay for whatever that shor does while it's in their possession. So now the Gemara brings a brisa that goes into more details of the din of a shor and iskal before the Gemar din and after the Gemar din. Tana Rabbanan, so going on the first half of the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, shor shehemis ad shelo nigmar dino mecharo. If a shor kills a person and then before the Gemar din against the shor, you sell that shor, so machor, the sale is going to be binding, and therefore the guy who buys it is allowed to plow his field with it up until the time that it has a Gemar din l'skila. He's going to be allowed to continue to plow his field with it. That's how Rashi writes. The Rashba elaborates that he's not able to be matzalit mimisa. As far as that, we're not going to say the mechiras chal, meaning it's going to have a Gemar din and it's going to get killed. But in the meantime, you can go and you can plow your field with it, and that's perfectly fine. We don't say that the mecher is not chal at all, and he has to return, and he just has to pay the dmei schirus of the charisha to the bailim. No, it's actually yours, and you plow your field with it as if it's yours. That's how Rashi writes. The pashtus is that it's mashma that even if the lokeach didn't know that the shor had killed somebody, the mekach is still chal. However, Tosos quotes Rashi in Madura Kama, who says that it's dafka if the lokeach knew that the shor had killed someone, and therefore the mocher could be the kataina, that you should have shechted it, and then you wouldn't have lost out, because by keeping it alive and plowing your field with it, so now it's going to have a gemar din, and they're going to kill it, but that's your problem. But if the lokeach had no idea that it ever killed anyone, then it's a mekach toz. You can't sell me a shor that's about to, stand for, to get killed because of what it had done, and, make it, and pretend that it was a regular shor. So that's going to be a mekach toz. Hikdisho, if he's maktishin, muktash, the hektish is going to be chal. Shechato, if you shechted, besara mutter, the meat's going to be mutter ba'achila. And similarly, if it gores a person and kills a person while it's still by the shomer, hechzimo shomer lebeis ba'il of muktzar. If a shomer then returns it back to the original owner, so he did his job, he returned it to the ba'ilim. But Misha Nigmardino, that's all if it was before the Gemardin. Misha Nigmardino, if after the Gemardin any of these things happen, Mecharo Eino Machri. You try to sell it after the Gemardin, the sale is not binding. And therefore, whatever Charisha you do, you have to, the guy that bought it and was Choresh with it will pay the Schirus of that Charisha to the Bailim. And that money is going to be Asabana, because the Shar is Asabana. But he's got to pay the Schirus of the Charisha. That's what the Meiri writes. And that's what you have to say, Lefishitas Rashi, that Ad Shelo Nigmar Din, the Mechar Machur means L'Charisha, it means if the Lokeach was Charish with it, he doesn't have to pay the Mocher. But if you sell it after the Gmar Din, Eino Machur means that you do have to pay the Mocher. The reason the Shor is not the sale is not binding, Rashi writes, because it's Aser Ba'ana, and he's not considered the Bailam of the Shor anymore. Since it's Aser Ba'ana, it's not yours anymore, and therefore it's not yours to sell. So once you have a Gmar Din, it's not yours to sell, it's Aser Ba'ana, so the sale is not binding. Tosus writes, though, within Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that a Shor Niskal is not Aser Ba'ana Mechayim. While it's alive, it's not Aser Ba'ana. So it turns out that until the time of the Skila, it's still Berushos Bailav. Aye, why then can't you sell it? Why is the sale not binding? So Tosus says, because there's Nisr of Inoy Hadin, that in general, when you have a Din Torah, that has to happen. It has to happen immediately, and you're not allowed to delay the Din Torah. So you're going to have to stone it. And therefore, if you sell it after the Gemar Din, before you actually carried out the Din, Ein Memkaro Memker, it's not going to be a binding sale. Rav Elchanan asks in the Kovitz Biurim, how can you pay the Mocher? The Shor is Aser Ba'ana. So he says, Rashi must hold, like Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that the Shor Niskal is Mutar Ba'ana Mechayim, and it's only so, and Eino Mocher is because of the Yisra Vino Yadin, and that's only Shayich L'Chadchila, but B'dievet, where you already kept it around, then you're allowed to take Dmei Harishaso. Not like we teach within Rashi that he's got to pay Dmei Harishaso, but the guy's not allowed to receive it. Because that doesn't make any sense. How are you going to pay Dmei Harisha and the Bible is not going to receive it? No, he's going to receive it because it's Takamutar Ba'ana up until the time that it gets killed. But anyway, we're saying after the Gemara Din, if you try to sell it, the sale is not binding. Hekdishu, if you try to be Makdish, it ain't no Mukdish. It's not Hekdish. Shechato, and you try it, you go and you shecht it Besaru Aser. The meat's going to be Aser Ba'achila. And if it goes and it kills a person while it's under the watchful eye or not so watchful eye of a shomer, and then it has a gemar din for skila, hichziru shomer lebeis bailov eino mukhsar. And the shomer says, "Oh, here's your shor back after already had a gemar din the skila." So that's not considered returning the object that you were supposed to watch. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, af mishenigmar dino hichziru shomer lebeis mukhsar. No, that last point I disagree with, says Rabbi Yaakov, that even if it had a gemar din while under the watchful lie of the shomer, he's allowed to give it back and say, "Harei shel chalafanecha, here's your shor back." So says Gemara, "Lema ba'akamiflgi." What exactly is the nekudas hamachlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yaakov? The Rabbanan Savri ain omr b'Yisrael na harei shel chalafanecha. Rabbi Yaakov Savar omr b'Yisrael na harei shel chalafanecha. That clearly, once it has a Gemara Din, it's Aser Ba'ana, and the Rabbanan hold, even though it's already Aser Ba'ana, you're allowed to say, "Harei shel chalafanecha." I know you gave me something that at the time you gave it to me was not Aser Ba'ana, and when I'm giving it back to you, it is Aser Ba'ana, but it's the same physical object. Aser Ba'ana is a halachic category. It's the same physical object. Harei shel chalafanecha, take back your object. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov will say, "What do you mean? It's the same physical object. You can't get any physical benefit from it. So you can't say Harei shel chalafanecha." So Rabbi says, "No, that's not the nekudas hamachlokas. Tukuli alma omer b'Yisrael Harei shel chalafanecha." It could be that everybody agrees that when it comes to Yisrael, no, you can say Harei shel chalafanecha. Rav Elchanan Kovitz Biurim brings a raya from here that Yisrei Anah are not hefker and that they're considered to be in the bailus of their owner, because otherwise how could you say Harei shel chalafanecha? It doesn't belong to anybody. In Kovitz Shurim he just adds in Mesachas Pesachim that Yisrei Anah is in the bailus, but it's not mamono. It's you're the bailum on it, but yet it's not considered mamono. Where do you have such a thing? How do you thread that needle? That you're the bailum, you're the owner, but it's not your money. So he says, you have such a thing. There's a machlokas tanoim about Maiser Sheni. How does Maiser Sheni work? I'm allowed to eat Maiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. So machlokas tanoim, how do we understand that? Do we understand that Maiser Sheni is momen gavoa, or that it's momen hediot? Is it that it all belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but Hashem is nice enough to share it with you when you're in Yerushalayim, but not when you're outside of Yerushalayim? Or do you say, no, it all belongs to you, but you have a halachic restriction on it, and that you're not allowed to eat it outside of Yerushalayim? Well, man, the Amr Maaser Sheni is mamon gavoa. You are the bailam of it, but it's not mamono. It's mamon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Chanan says, you have that similar model over here. But anyway, so Om B'Yisrayana, Rishal Chalafanachim. When it comes to Yisrayana, you're allowed to return Yisrayana to the Bailim and say, this is the physical object that you gave me, De'im Kain. Because if you're going to say that the Rabbanan hold that you're not allowed to say, Rishal Chalafanachim, Why would they only argue about a shor that had a gemar din? Nifla glinin chametz bePesach. There are other isurayana where this machlokas could have occurred. If a person steals chametz prior to Pesach, so as soon as you steal something, you have a chiyuv hashava. There's the din of a heshivas akzela. You have to return that which you stole. So, but what do? You hang on to that chametz until after Pesach. So you steal this very expensive bottle of scotch that's worth thousands of dollars or whatever, and then you hang on to it, and after Pesach, you say, you know what, I'm going to go give it back. But now it's also about no. It's chametz shavar lava Pesach, and it's also about no. So you could have had that same machlokas over there. And yet, we're going to see later on in this Masechta, and daf tzadi chesam beis, that gozal chametz va'avar lava Pesach, and shor achlo nigvardino, Omer lo, hareshel chalavanecha, but only by a shor shenig mardino we have a machlokas. There's no machlokas by chametz bePesach. So apparently the machlokas is not just broadly about isuri hana, whether you could say hareshel chalavanecha. All the tanaim hold that you're allowed to say hareshel chalavanecha by isuri hana. So what is the nekudas machlokas over here about a shor that had a gemar din? Elahacha begomrin dino shel shor shelo befan of kamiflugi. Over here the machlokas between the rabban and Rabbi Yaakov is what's the din of a shomer that had a shor and he grabbed the shor after it had killed and he brought it to Beis Din in order that it should have a gemar din. Does he now have to pay the bailim the demei hashor or not? The Rabbanan Savri ain gomrin dinu shel shor el befanav. The Rabbanan hold that the only way you can have a gemar din for a shor l'skila is if the shor is there, and therefore the shomer is going to have to pay the bailim because the amale. Otherwise, the bailim could say to the shomer, if you just would have given it back to me, it never would have had a gemar din. Who told you to go grab the bull by its horns and bring it to Beis Din and have a gemar din? I wouldn't have done that. I would have hid it somewhere in an adam. Beis Din never would have found it. They never would have had a gemar din, and my shor would still be alive. So you cost me by going and bringing it to Beis Din. And now you grabbed my shor from and brought it somewhere where I can't rescue it, because it has a gemar din and there's nothing I'm able to do about it. So be a daim, you went and you were mafsid my shor. Very strange taina, no? The Achronim were all bothered by this, that the Bible was going to have a taina on the shomer that you brought it to Beis Din. It killed somebody. It's supposed to go to Beis Din. Isn't that the right halacha? Isn't that what's supposed to happen? What, the taina is you should have circumvented the whole system and ran away from the Beis Din? When human beings do that, they get in big trouble, right? They have a siruv l'din and things like that. So what, we're going to make such a thing for that you could do that for a shor? What kind of taina is that? So in Shuvas Ber Yitzchak, Yardei Asim Chavdalin, he brings a riot from here that it's not the Bailum Schiv to bring the shor to Beis Din in order for him to be Nidon Beskila. The Bailum just has to be Mevarit Mina Olam. He just has to make sure his shor can never do damage again by no longer existing in this world. So now you understand this taina, that he could say, look, if you would have returned it to me, I would have brought it to an agam, watched it for a very short period of time, and then shechted it. And no one would have ever known, no one would have ever heard from it ever again. And that's the extent of my responsibility. Beis Din's responsibility is to give it skila. That's the way it's going to be mevarit min ha'olam. But my responsibility is just to be mevarit min ha'olam. Chasam Sofer asks a similar question, that why, according to the Rabbanan, is the shomer chayiv for being matfis the shor and bringing it to Beis Din? Everyone is mitzuva al kach. The Gemara says in Maseches Chulin Kuflan Chesam Beis that an oath that's harages hanefesh, you have to bring it to Beis Din to be mevarit min ha'olam. And Rashi writes mitzva al kol hapogeya b'chayave misa lahavi lebeis din kedei leva'er rishaim mi Yisrael. That whenever you have someone who's chayav misa, everyone is supposed to make a citizen's arrest, meaning on a human being also is chayav misa. Bring him to Beis Din and let Beis Din deal with it. So why would it be any different over here? So the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva in Archaim Simon Kofei that the chiv to bring to Beis Din is only by an of hefker that doesn't have bailim, but a shor that has bailim, and prior to the gemar din, it's still considered the moment of the bailim. No one else is mechuyev nor permitted to do any maisa with it, other than to give it back to that bailim. And then the bailim himself has to worry about being mevar min ha'olam. Meaning, the Chasam Sofer is dealing. He says the same basic answer as the Be'er Yitzchak, that the bailim just has to make sure it's mevar min ha'olam. question is, what is my responsibility when I'm not the Bailim? So both Chassam Sofer and the Bar Yitzchak say that as long as this shor is owned by somebody else, my responsibility is not to bring it to Beis Din. That is not my job. My job is to get it back to the Bailim, and the Bailim has that responsibility. If it's a shor shel hefker, if it's a dangerous thing like a human being who's chayev misa, well then my responsibility is to bring it to Beis Din, because there is no other Bailim on it. So that's when my responsibility would be to bring it to Beis Din. So anyway, so that's the shita of the Rabbanan, that since we can only have a gemar din bifnei the shor, the Bailim could have a taina, why did you go bring it to Beis Din? You should have brought it to me, then I wouldn't have been mafsa the shor, so you owe me money. For Rabbi Yaakov, Savar, Rabbi Yaakov disagrees, and he holds gomer din shel shor shelo b'fanav, that we could have a gemar din for, against the shor, even if the shor is not here. Da amar lei, so the shomer could say to the Bailim, sof sof, migmar have a gamer lei ledina, it wouldn't have helped if I would have given it back to you. Even if I would have given it back to you and you would have hidden it somewhere in Nagam, they still would have had a gemara din against it. So I didn't do anything. I didn't do any nezek by bringing it to the Beis Din. So the gemara brings a source for the shita of the Rabbanan that we're not gomer the din of a shor unless the shor is present in Beis Din. My time at the Rabbanan, what's the basis of the Rabbanan that we're not gomer the din of the shor ela befanav? Because the pasuk says hashor yisakel v'gamba alav yumas. From the fact that we're makish, we make this link between the din of the shor and the din of the Bailim, we learn kimisas abailim kach misas shor. The same way a human being would get killed, so too a shor gets killed. In that ma bailim bifneihem, just like when a human faces din in Beis Din, the gemar din has to be bifanav, and he's got to be there because the pasuk says v'lo yomus harotzeach ad amdo lifnei ha'eda lamishpat. So pasuk in the Torah, he needs to stand there lefnei ha'eda. Eda means the Beis Din lemishpat. So he has to be in the Sanhedrin. So av shor befanav. So too you have a din by shor that it's got to be befanav of Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Yaakov who holds that we're gomer the din of a shor lemisa even shalom befanav will say bishlam abaylim b'nei taineninu. I understand when it comes to a human being, he's got to be there because he might have something to say for himself. He might be able to say, no, you got it all wrong, and I have a taina, and I have an excuse, and I have a reason. El Ashar, Bar Tanasu, what's the shor going to do there? He's just standing there like a shor. It's not going to help anything to have a shor in Beis Din. That's what Tosafot points out, Dibra Maskel Ella, that even if Lagabe, all the other dinim, we say, Kemisa Sabaylim, Kach Misa Sashar, that's because by most of the other dinim, the svara, there's no svara to be mechalik. But over here, there's a very strong svara to be mechalik, that the Bailim in Beis Din could say something for himself. The shor in Beis Din cannot say something for himself. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. It's the way Rashi and all the Rishonim pretty much read the Gemara, that when we say that that the machlokas is whether we're dan, we're gomer the din of the shor bifanav, we mean bifnei the shor, that the shor has to be there in Beis Din. However, the Lecha Mishnah in Hilchos Gezeila Perakim Lecha Dalid writes that according to the Shitas Rambam, ein Beis Din gomer dino shel shor el bifanav means el bifnei ba'alav, not bifnei the shor, it means bifnei the Bailim. And he said the Rambam writes in Niske Mamon Perakim Lecha Chavav, ein gomer dino shel shor ella bifnei bailav. And so now how do you touch up the whole Gemara now? How does any of right? So the line of Iava biyad Iava marachne lelagba, that the Bible says you shouldn't have brought it to Beis Din, you should have given it to me, and then I would have hidden the shor in the agam. How does that make sense if it's not about the shor being here or not being here? So the Lech Mishnah explains, then they would not have been gomer the din because I would have said that it got lost, and I don't even know who has it right now and who the real Bailim is that is going to be required to come to Beis Din. You know, I'm not the Bailim. Someone else took possession of it. It was Hefker or whatever. Someone else took possession of it. So I'm not even the Bailim. So by now you see that the shor is by you. You are the Bailim because you're the shomer. So now they're able to be gomer the din of the shor. And he's also dochek to be mefarish the taina of Rabbi Yaakov of el shor bar ta'anasahu, right? Where the Gemara just said, what do you need a shor here in Beis Din for? He's not a bar taina. He's not going to be able to say a taina. So it sounds like the Gemara din is in front of the shor. So the Lech Mishnah says, no, the Rambam's going to learn is bishlam of the Bailim will taina that he didn't do bekavana, he did it bishlam Shogeg or something like that. But a shor is, the Bailim could say about himself, if he's the one that did the damage, he could, I understand what excuse he could have. He could say, I didn't do it b'kavana, I did it b'shogeg, I was drunk, I was sick, I was on medication, whatever, you know, something like that. But by the shor, there's no taina you can make for a shor to pater him, because if he's a mu'ud, he's chayiv, there's no further discussion. So it's not that the Rabbi Yaakov's taina back, it's not that the shor won't have anything to say for himself, it's that the Bailim won't have anything to safer the shor. That's the taina back. Having said that, the Rambam in Iskei Mamon Parakir Al Halach Yud writes, Lefi she'ein gomren dino shal shor, ela bifnei hashor. Kedina Adam. So even though in one place it says Bifnei Bailev, it sounds like the Rambam actually requires both. And it could be that he just reads the Gemara straight. That it's, you know, that the same way Rashi read it, that we're talking about Bifnei Hashor and not Bifnei HaBailev. Okay, then the Mishnah went on to say, Misar L'Shar M'chinim L'Shar, that if you give this shor 10 of the dalet shomrim, so those dalet shomrim become the bailim now as far as the payments that are going to have to be made if that shor does damage. So we have a brisa that elaborates. There are four types of people that go and take the place of the bailim that now become chayiv in whatever nezek this animal does. Hargu, if the shor kills while it's under the shmira of these dalet shomrim, tamin, and it's a shor tam, ne'aragin uptur min ha-kofer. So the animal's going to get killed, it's going to be put from kofer, because the tam is always put from kofer, right? Kofer v'lo chatzi kofer, we don't have a din of kofer by tam. Mu'adin, and if it was a shor mu'ad, ne'aragin u'mishalman is kofer. So it gets killed, and you pay the kofer. So the brisa concludes, v'chayavin l'haksir t'mei shor l'baylev. And since the shor gets killed, and you're not returning it back to the Bailim, you're the Shomer, and you're not returning it back to the Bailim because it's getting killed, you have to pay for it, and pay the Bailim, you know, you have to pay the money to the Bailim, chutz mi Shomer Chinam, except for a Shomer Chinam does not have to pay the money to the Bailim. So now the Gemara explains, what type of Shemira is the Braisa talking about was done on this Shar? We're going to have a Mishnah on the base, we're going to have three different Shitos about how carefully one needs to watch a Shar Muad. Rabbi Meir holds that both a Shar Tam and a Shar Muad require a Shemira Mu'ula. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Muad you could even have a Shemira Pchusa, only a Tam requires a Shemira Mu'ula, and Rabbi Lezer holds that no Shemira will ever be sufficient for a Shar Mu'ad. You just have to kill it. No Shemira will ever work for a Shar Mu'ad. So now, given that those are the three opinions, says the Gemara, Amri, Hei Chidami, what's the case that the Brice is talking about? Eat in Atre, if we're talking about where you watched a Shemira Mu'ula, you put a very good protection on it so that it shouldn't damage. So why does the Brice only pater the Shomer Chinam from returning the money? Afilu Kulunami Lifteru. Then all the Shomer Sachar and the Socher also should be able to be pater. Not the Shoel, because he's Chayv and Onsim, but at least the Shomer Sachar and the Socher also should be able to be pater from returning the Demei Shar, because they did their job. V'delonatre, and if you didn't watch it properly, Afilu Shomer Chinam Nechayiv. Then even if you're a Shomer Chinam, then you're Poshea, and you should be Chayiv, because the Shomer Chinam is Chayiv on Pshia. So Amri Hachmei Eskinan Dinatre Shmir Pchusa, v'lanatre Shmir Mu'ula. Case is, you did watch it, a Shmir Pchusa. You just didn't do a Shmira Mu'ula. So Shomer Chinam calls the Lo Shmira. So Shomer Chinam doesn't have to pay back because he did what he was supposed to do. He did a Shmira Pechusa, and that's the extent of his obligation. He's not obligated to do a Shmira Mu'ula, and therefore he's not going to have to pay for anything. But Hanach, the other Shomrim, Lo calls the Shmira. It's not good enough for them to do a Shmira Pechusa. They have to do a proper Shmira Sashar, a Shmira Mu'ula. And when they didn't do that, it's considered to be negligence, and therefore they're going to have to pay the money back to the Bailim. So Amri says the Gemara, okay, so now we just said that there's a different level of Shemir required depending if you're a Shomer Chinam versus the other three Shomrim. That you're watching a Shar Mu'ad, and if you're a Shomer Chinam, Shemir B'chus is good enough. And if you're the other three Shomrim, you need a Shemir Mu'ula. So, Kiman, whose opinion in the Mishnah on Amud Beis about how much Shemira a Mu'ad requires are we following? Ik Rabbi Meir, if we're assuming like Rabbi Meir that holds that a Mu'ad cannot have a Shemir B'chusa, and that's why the Brice is Mechayv the Bailim to pay Kofar, so the Hemshech of the Brice that paters the Shomer Chinam from returning the money is going to be difficult. Because Rabbi Meir Lishitasa, Domer Socher Kishomer Chinam Dami, he holds as far as the level of Shemira that's required for the Shar, a Socher is the same din as a Shomer Chinam. So why should it be any, why should only the Shomer Chinam be potter from paying? Shomer Chinam and the Socher should have the same din. Listen, chutz mi Shomer Chinam v'asocher. He should have said in the Hemshech of the Braisa that you have to return the Demei Shar L'Bailim except for a Shomer Chinam and the Socher. Shomer Chinam should not have been the only exception. V'ikar Rabbi Yehuda, and if we're assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that a muad is good enough to have a shmirah pechusa. So the Amar socher can also sachar dami, and he holds that a socher has the same din as a shomer sachar, and therefore the Brice is mechayev the socher to pay the value of the shor. So why are muad rugged and pay the kofar? He holds that it's good enough to have a shmirah pechusa. Nisni chutz mi shomer chinam v'kulan b'muad and paturin linin kofar. Say chutz mi shomer chinam, and all of the shomrim, if it's a muad, are pater as far as kofar is concerned, because you did your job, you did a shmir p'chusa, and that's all you require. So the Gemara has two ways of understanding the Braisa. Number one, the Gemara says, Amar Avinu Bar Chinna Hamani, this Braisa is Rabbi Eliezer. Dabra Ein Lo Shmira El Asakin. That holds that the only way to really protect a muad from doing any further damage is by killing it. And therefore, all the Dalet Shomrim are Chayev Kofar, even if you did a Shmira Pchusa Ulinyan Socher. But as far as a Socher having to return the money to the Bailim, Samila Kravyuda Damar Socher, Kanosi Socher Dami, holds that a Socher has the same level of responsibility as Nosi Socher, and only Shomer Chinam is not going to have to return the money. So as far as Kofar, they're all Dalet Shomrim are going to have to pay the Kofar, because the only way to protect it is by killing it. As far as paying back the Bailim, the value of the Shar, Shomer Chinam is the only one that gets off the hook from paying the Bailim the value of the Shar. Abayi Amar Liolam Krab Meir. Abai says, really, the Bryce is going like Rabbi Meir, that a muad cannot have a shmir p'chusa, and therefore all of them are chayiv in kofar when they would do a shmir p'chusa, because that's not sufficient for a muad. We asked, then why doesn't the Bryce apatru the socher from returning the demei hashar to the bailim as well? After all, according to Rabbi Meir, the din of a socher is the same as that of a shomer chinam, and therefore, as far as the money is concerned, you did a proper shmirah, you did a shmir p'chusa. So you have to say that Rabbi Meir holds that socher, the din of shomer sachar, kedem machlef Rabba Baravua, meaning we're misunderstanding Rabbi Meir. We think Rabbi Meir holds socher as din of shomer chinam, and therefore shomer chinam should not be the only one that doesn't have to pay the bailim. Socher also should have to pay the bailim. No, we got it backwards. Kedem machlef Rabba Baravua. Rab Baravua switched around the shitos. Vitani socher ketan mishalem. Rab Meir omer kashomer sachar. Rab Yehuda omer kashomer chinam. Rab Meir holds the socher the same din as shomer sachar, and therefore according to Rabbi Meir, yes, a shomer chinam will be potter from paying when he did a shmirah pechusa, but a socher and a shomer sachar will not be potter from paying. They will actually have to pay the bailim back. Okay, Amar Rav Lazar masar shor le shomer chinam hizik chayiv. Huzak Pater. Now we're going to talk about if Shomer is watching it and it does damage. So the Mishnah spoke about what happens, that the Shomer has to pay for that damage. What if it gets damaged while it's in the Rishus of the Shomer? So Rabbi Elazar tells us that if it does damage, yeah, the Shomer has to pay for the Nezek. If it gets damaged, the Shomer is Pater from paying for the Nezek. Samri Hechidami. Well, what exactly is the case? Eid the Kibbel Le Shemiris Nezakov. If he was Makabel to watch the Shar, that it shouldn't get damaged, that it shouldn't do damage, nor that it should get damaged. I mean, I'm going to keep such a close eye. Nothing is going to happen with the shor. Afilu huzik nami l'chayiv. Then even if it gets damaged, you should be chayiv. You were makabel to protect it from that. V'idlo kibala le'shmiras nizakav. And if you were not makabel shmiras nizakav, meaning the general category of damages, then afilu huzik nami l'pater. Then you should have been pater even if it does damage. Meaning we're assuming right now that there's such a that it's such a general thing that you're either makabel all nezek in both directions, or you makabel no nezek. That when you say I'm makabel nezakov, you mean that I'm being makabel that it shouldn't do damage, nor should it get damage. And if you're not makabel nezakov, it means you're being makabel neither. So then, how can we distinguish between them? So Amar Rava li olam shekibel lav shmiras nezakov. The case is you are makabel nezakov. But you knew that this shor was a shor nakhan, and you were makabel to just stam to do a shmira. Ustam de milsa to loas alihu mazakachrini kabalale dasi achrini mazakalele day loas gadaite. When you have a shor that's known as a nakhan, it's known as a dangerous shor. So stam de milsa, we assume that when you're makabel the nezek, even if you say the word nizakov, what you mean to say is, I know this animal is dangerous. I know it's a vildachaya and I have to keep an eye on it. So I'm going to keep an eye on it, that it won't hurt anybody. It would never dawn on you that the bully would get bullied. It would never dawn on you that the shard that's been doing all this damage might actually get hurt by somebody else. So you weren't makabel that, because that wouldn't have even occurred to you, knowing that the shard was such a dangerous shard. Okay, now we move on to the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us what level of shmir is required for a shor muad and a shor tam, respectively. So ksharu balav b'maseira v'nal b'fanav karatli. If you tie it down really well with a chain or something, and you lock the barn in front of it, so it's not able in a way that the delus is not going to be able to it will be able to withstand the ruach mitzuya. So that's what we call a shmir p'chusa. You tie it down and you close the door so that a ruach mitzuya will not open the door. The yatzvi hizik, then it gets out and does damage. Echatam vechon muad chayiv divremeir. Remeir holds both tam and muad. That's only shmir p'chusa, and you're going to be chayiv because you need to do more than a shmir p'chusa. Rabbi Yehuda omer tam chayiv. The tam is going to be chayiv, but muad pater. If it's a muad, you're pater. Shenemar v'lo yishmerenu balav v'shamru zeh. Because the pasuk says v'lo yishmerenu balav, so it's the chiyuv of the bailim is totally in a lack of shmira. So as long as there was shmira, even if it's a shmir p'chusa, we're not going to be mechayev you. And this is had a shmir p'chusa. It had the shmira that it required. The Meiri points out the obvious problem with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that a shor tam needs a shmira ma'ula, and a shor muad only needs a shmira p'chusa. You know, to borrow the expression that we had a couple of days ago, v'chi yetziva ba'ara v'giyura b'shmei shemaya. I mean, it's backwards. It doesn't make any sense. So the Meiri writes, no, when an animal has a reputation of being a muad, anyone else who has an animal in the vicinity is going to guard their animal much more carefully not to get hurt, meaning they know there's a muad in the neighborhood. It's like, I guess Lahavdil, when they put out those alerts about a pedophile in the neighborhood, so everyone watches their kids a little bit more. They don't think they're going to be able to watch the pedophile. They'll watch their kids a little bit better that Rahman al-Slan, nothing should happen to them. So you have a shor that's such a wild shor, so everybody else is going to watch a little more carefully. So as far as the shomer of the shor, he doesn't have to watch as carefully. He only needs a shmir p'chusa. Maybe that's the svar, it's still not so satisfying, but that's what the Meiri suggests. Rabbi Lazar Omer, ein lo shmira ela sakin. If the shor is already proven to be a damaging shor, so the only way to protect it is by killing it. And even if you do a shmir me'ula and it damages, you're going to have to pay for the niske hashor. So my time is Rameir. Why does Rameir hold that both the tam and the muad need a shmir me'ula? Because kasavar stam shvarim lav b'chaz kashim rakaimi. He assumes a stam shor is not considered to be protected and watched. V'amrachmana, and the Torah says tam nichayiv, they have to pay for the tashlumin of a tam. And that teaches me that you have to do a shmir p'chusa in order to pater yourself from paying for the damages that it does. Meaning, once the Torah is mechayiv a shor tam that's not watched at all b'tashlumin, so we learn that so if you watch it, it's pater from tashlumin. How much watching? More than zero. Meaning a shmir p'chusa. Then the Torah says v'lo yishmerenu b'ayla, right? It says v'lo yishmerenu gabi muad, and it says that in the context of a muad. So now there's another level of shmira that's required. Din b'ayla shmira ma'ula. So the second time it mentions shmira, it must be in a higher level of shmira. And so now I learned that you need shmira ma'ula. V'yol from the gichol the tam in the gichol the muad, and we learn one from the other that tam and muad are in the same parsha. So the level of shmira that you need for both of them is the same. They're both going to need a shmira ma'ula. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Stam shor b'ches kashim or kaimi. It's always the derech of bnei adam to watch their shor at least a shmir p'chusa. So the ground level is that you're doing a shmir p'chusa. That's the assumption, right? That's the basis of the discussion. And then the Torah says, and even when you do that, you have to pay if the tam does damage. Why? Because shmir p'chusa is not good enough. Dini bayle shmir mula. You need to do a shmir mula. So hadar amar rachmana. And then the Torah says by muad. Then by muad it says, and you better really watch it. So now you have a riboy achar riboy, because by tam it already said you need a shmiru mula. Then again by muad it says you need a shmiru mula, and then riboy achar riboy lemait. Whenever you have a double riboy, it always swings back in the other direction. It always comes to be memait. So miyetakos the shmiru mula. So the Torah is telling me that by the muad you don't need a shmiru mula. Only by the tam do you need the shmiru mula. By the muad, because it was a riboy achar riboy, so it knocks down the level of shmira. V'chitema, Maybe you're going to say negich l'tam, negich l'muad, that they should have the same din. So amir rachmanu v'lo yishmerenu l'zev v'lo la'acher. No, but there's a miut in the pasuk that says v'lo yishmerenu by yishor muad to tell me that it's enough to have a shmir p'chusa dafka by the muad and not by the tam. So v'ami by le'lav, how can you learn from v'lo yishmerenu that a short tam has to pay even if it has a short tam has to have a shmir m'ula v'ami by le'lav. Don't you need it for the chiyuv niskei muad if the bailim doesn't do the shmirah meula and to darshan the riboy achar riboy to be memayit from that chiyuv? Say imkain, says Gemara, if the pasuk only would have said to darshan riboy achar riboy and that a muad doesn't require shmirah meula, nichlev rachmanu v'lo yishmar mai v'lo yishmarenu lezev v'lo la'acher, to tell me that this din of a shmirah meula of not requiring shmirah meula is only by a muad, but by a tam you talk a do need a shmirah meula. Tanya Reb Lazar ben Yaakov Omer echotam v'echad muad shashamru shmirah p'chusa pater. That Reb Lazar says you're always going to be pater if you do a shmirah p'chusa on the tam or a muad. My taima, why? Because some of the kraviyud the da'amar muad shmirah p'chusa sagilei v'yelef negich l'tam negich l'muad. He does hold like kraviyud that a shmirah p'chusa is all that you need for a muad, but he also holds that a tam matches a muad. Whatever the din of a muad is, the same din is going to be by a tam. Amar avad barav lo pater Reb Yehuda el tzad ha'ad that when Rabbi Yehuda paters niske sharmuad that was watched with the shmirah p'chusa, that's only on the chelek of the muad, but the chelek that you're chayiv mitzat tamus, meaning the chatzi nezek, that remains as a tam, and the bailim is not pater from that chiyuv with a shmirah p'chusa. So mele, if you have a sharmuad that you did a shmirah p'chusa and it goes out and damages, you're chayiv to pay chatzi nezek. It's not that you're totally pater because a muad only requires a shmir b'chusa. It still has its tzad tamu, so you still chayiv for that. So I'm a rav. Muad l'keren yamin, ain't a muad l'keren small. If an animal is a muad to gore with its right horn, it's not a muad to gore when it gores with its left horn. So I'm a libid man. That both the tam and the muad require shmir mu'ula. And I'm a libid Rabbi Yehuda. And if you're going like Rabbi Yehuda, my area keren small. I feel l'keren yamin nami yispe tzad tamus v'spe tzad muades. Even with the right horn, there still remains a tzad tamus b'makoma. So I'm really olam Rabbi Yehuda. We're really holding like Rabbi Yehuda that's mechalik between the chiyuv of shmiras tam and shmiras muad below svirule de ravad de barava, but he doesn't hold like ravad de barava that the tzad tamus b'mekomo omedes v'achi kamer. This is what Rav is saying. Ki agavna where one keren is a tam and the other one is a muad. Who de mishkachas pay tzad tamus muades? That's the only case where you could have a tam and a muad wrapped up in one animal. Avol muad legamri lo mishkachas pay tzad tamus klal. But when you have an actual muad, then we don't say, oh, it's a combination of tam plus another half of muad. Tamus and muadus in one animal can only be right horn, left horn. It cannot be when an animal is just tam and muad. We don't say that it's still also a tam. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up the two dots on the top of Mem Vav Amid Aleph. Everyone have a wonderful day.